to show you something.
Take it to
And amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence during our gathering. Please bless everyone, Father, that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and all the special requests that we put in last night, as well as all throughout the week. And thank you for reminding us from time to time of people by name to pray for and for blessing them, because we may be the only ones praying for them. And say thank you also, Father God, for blessing everyone that's doing the work around the world and everyone that's in attendance here tonight, or today, rather. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And thank you for blessing us with the latter rain and giving us a way to where we can gather, because your church, as prophecy predicted, is so widely scattered now that there's no possible way that we can meet in any large numbers on a regular basis anywhere, physically. And so thank you for blessing us with this technology and allowing it to continue to work for as long as you deem necessary. And when they remove us from the internet, thank you in advance for blessing us with a way to continue on, because a loud cry will go forth with or without it. We know it. Prophecy will be fulfilled. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, first, there is an announcement I'm going to make at the end of the service, so if you please stick around after church, we got something we got to talk about. And for those either listening on the phone, can you hear this? Probably not. It's very slow. Low. Let me just see. Anyway, I don't need to show you. There's two church phone numbers now. But next week there's only going to be one, and it's going to be the new one. If you're calling on the phone right now, that phone number, it'll still work next week, but you're not going to hear us. We're going to be on a different phone number, because that phone number is old. It doesn't have the features that the new one has, where we can have, I don't know if it's 1,000 or unlimited amount of listeners on the phone. And for those of you listening on the radio, I'm sorry if the volume isn't where it should be, but there's really nothing I could do about that, because a lot of people use cell phones and stuff like that. And that's another thing too. If you're on the phone because you don't like using the chat room, and your phone does have flash capability, all phones do. You know, you would just have to have a flash browser like on an iPhone. All you do is go to WTPR page on the website. Like when you get to the main page on remedygod.org, the silver microphone up on the top, click it. It'll bring you to WTPR. And then all you do is you press a button. And with Brother Alex's help, I was able to find a way to make it to where if you even if you don't have flash capabilities, there's a link now underneath the play button. That's a programmed link. It'll actually ask your phone or your PC or your Mac to choose your favorite media player. And when you do, you'll hear the live radio broadcast through your media player. That way you don't have to use flash. So thanks again, Alex, for bringing that up. I didn't even know that that was going to be an issue, but it's fixed now. So next week, there's a new phone number. You go to the website, remedygod.org, and go to the join us, you know, like the POGM chat thing, and they click, you know, underneath there. It's got the box where it says the phone numbers and all that stuff. Well, the new phone number's there. I don't want to just read it off now. It'll take too long, because the PIN number's 9 numbers now instead of 6. Well, yeah, it does make you choose. If you have more than one media player on your system, it's going to ask you to choose. But if you don't have a media player like on iPhone or something like that, it whatever you have, it'll just boom, it'll pop up and start playing. Not a problem, Alex, not a problem. But thanks, that's a good thing to mention. So anyway, still, we got another announcement after church. You might be, let me see if it's still playing. No, looks like somebody is, you know, they decided to get off the old phone number and they're on the new one because now the elevator music's not playing on the new phone because that's right in front of me. Fran's got the other one in the other room before, right in front of the microphone or the speakers. Okay. All right. But anyway, but this sermon is hopefully going to help answer the emails and all the phone calls I've been getting from Christians who are generally concerned about what's going on out there right now. It seems that most people, and I'm talking about the serious seekers who have yet to accept Christ or even obedient Christians. It doesn't matter anymore now. It seems everyone has such questions. They all want to know why everything is so crazy in the world today. They tell me, and I agree with them, that the nightly news reports sound like something out of a horror movie, and that's just the TV news, of which most of us already know they censor pretty much everything you see. It's all propaganda. It's all set up to make money. If a news report is going to cause financial duress for some major corporation that's involved with the media, well, then you're not going to get that news report. But they're also concerned with how the more reputable news sources now, on and offline, also are saying the same things, and even worse, because they don't censor anything. So, well, in a nutshell, it has to do with the same old agenda of the same old wicked people moved by the same old demon that fell from hell 6,000 years ago. Nothing's changed except, you know, perhaps the speed by which it's all happening and the actors in the present performance that all Bible-believing Christians know is directed by Satan. He gets credit again, and it's not a good place to be. However, to place this in a way that most can understand it, we all know Satan's been active on this planet for 6,000 years, and so the same old wicked tactics that worked in the past will be repeated time after time simply because they work. As I intimated a moment ago, there is a slight difference in how he's attacking because, as the word confirms, Satan knows that his time is running out and to get as many people on his side of the fence as possible before that eastern sky splits. And it says in before the plagues hit, it says in Revelation 12:12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. In other words, the age-old agenda of the wicked has never changed. Only their faces and the curtains that they hide behind have a tendency to look different with each generation, thanks to how Satan manipulates languages or fashion or mindsets or even technology and society itself with every new generation. For a quick example of what I mean, I am a product, as is my wife, of the baby boom. During this time, we experienced the greasers of the 1950s. Now, I didn't really experience them, and she definitely didn't, because she was really towards the end of the 50s. When she was born, I was in the mid-50s I was born. So I didn't really, I mean, as a little kid, I couldn't understand what I was looking at, but I was alive during the time of the greasers. Let's just put it that way. And that's when the rock and roll scene started getting, you know, and that's when they actually coined the phrase rock and roll. And I'm not going to explain where that word came from because it's vulgar. It's paganism. It's just all based on the same stuff. Then we had the hippies and the free love movement of the 1960s. Next, we saw the drug movement strongly, you know, realized in the 1970s. That's when my teen years, along with the rock music spreading its hellish wings in a bevy of new ways, which included what they called heavy metal, where Satan could literally preach to the kids and they'd let them. And then in the 1980s, the disco scene brought many young people into the nightclubs, and fashion designer drugs became popular. And then in the 1990s, we saw the homosexual movement growing into an actual political movement. And then when the year 2000 hit, technology became more popular to the point of social media and all sorts of new ways to experiment with sin. And now we see demonic versions of religion running amok. And through all this, we saw fashion change with every movement. Hairstyles changed. The ways, the cars look different. Even the way the people entertain themselves has changed. There are so many things changing now, it's hard to keep up with it all. But if you slow down and you do a little bit of research, you're going to see this is how it's been since the end times began. In fact, in my book, People Get Ready, I posted the following quote. And this is from Time Magazine, from an article titled Steep Curve to Level 4 in January 2nd of 1950. It says, "The 20th century, a characteristically unique time in history, the headlong accelerating growth of scientific knowledge, the curve of knowledge, is exponential, growing steeper like the curve of squares." And this was back in the 50s. It's insane now how much, if you're in the military, you know that certain inventions that we, like say, for example, the cell phones we have now, they had 20 years ago. I'm talking the higher ups, the guys that are really in power. They had technology 20 years ago that we're using now. For example, I know for a fact, I have a friend that's ex-military. He was saying that when he was in the military, they had cell phone batteries that lasted 20 years. But ours, what, 2 days? So, and that's just one little aspect. I'm not even going to touch on holograms, okay? But anyway, it's like the curve of squares, like the exponential thing, 1, 4, 9, 16, 36, 49, it keeps on going from there. And then the article goes on to say, or the quote here, it says, "It has changed men's lives more in the past 20 years than in the previous 50, more in that 50 years than in the previous 2000. Man cannot, dare not stop its growth, though he does not know where it is taking him." Now that quote was made in the year 1950, like I say. So again, what we're seeing now has been obvious for decades. I show in that section of the book that all this explosive change started when the end times began. Because we have the actual dates. We have dated prophecies before the end times began. See, after the end times began, we know what's going to happen next. We just don't know the day or the hour. So whenever anybody goes out there and starts saying stuff about this is going to happen on this date and this is going to happen on that date, consider the source, because they're not reading their Bibles. So, but check this out, what they said 5 years before this. In 1945, it says this, and this was from Norman Cousins' book, Modern Man is Obsolete. It's on page 15 and 16. It says, "A wheel turned no faster in Hannibal's time than it did in George Washington's. It took just as long to cultivate a wheat field in Egypt in 5000 BC as it did anywhere at the turn of the 19th century. Then suddenly, with the utilization of steam and electricity, more changes were made in technology in two generations than in all the thousands of years of previous human history put together. Wheels and machines turned so fast that man could cover more distances in one day than he used to be able to do in a lifetime." So all this business allows for Satan to do things in government as well as in people's own lives without many noticing because they're just too busy to see it. The one thing most that contact me are concerned about is the obvious increase in Christian persecution. And that's the main reason I decided to share this today. We've always seen Christians being persecuted and killed over the ages, yes, but it hasn't been this bad since the Roman Catholic Inquisition. But due to all the business, of Satan, that he's up to, and or some people would, like the busyness, if you will, most missed that too, until now that is. Yes, we could have been born 1,000 years ago and not seen all of this that we're seeing now, but then we would have been in the midst of the Inquisition. And so again, nothing really changes, just the actors and the tragedy. So, we know Satan's behind all this because we read our Bibles, and we know why he does all this because he hates anyone that loves and obeys the Father in heaven. But seeing how he is unable to manifest himself until the day he acts as if he is Jesus Christ on earth, who is it he has been using to hide behind since the Christian faith came into existence? Now, before going further, we know Satan persecuted the believers in the Old Testament. We saw it in Moses' day, in Esther's day, Jeremiah's, Daniel's, Shadrach's. You know, it just goes on. And that's just to name a few. We know that this has always been the case. If you follow God, you're going to be an enemy of the world. And again, it's always been Satan hiding behind the governing powers of each of those times in Old Testament history. But when we look back to when the Christian church began, we see only one power being used by Satan. And this, because I guess he got his ducks in a row by then. I don't know. He figured out a way to do it all in one big lump. But at the same time, this actually makes our job that much easier when exposing all this. Historic fact is, pagan Rome hated the Christians 2,000 years ago. They persecuted the Christians in a rather graphic manner in that feeding them to lions, among other torturous ways, actually became entertainment for the people under Roman rule. Their minds had become so conditioned to enjoying this violence and bloodiness that the Colosseum was packed for every event. Then, as prophecy predicted, pagan Rome sought to have political as well as religious power when Satan entered into Caesar one day, convincing them that he was a god. And then Nero was especially hateful towards God's people, and the persecutions got far worse. And he did, you know, he caused all these fires and the destruction and blamed it on the Christians. Well, he did that's how Hitler came up with the idea for the Reichstag fire, you know, start a fire and blame it on his enemies. And it's the same reason you saw September 11th. Blame it on somebody else so they can go forth with this new agenda on fighting terrorism, a war you can't really beat, but you can put in every single solitary society on earth, from Western society to third world people. You can control everybody with it. But anyway, the way Nero was attacking, this is why many Christians ended up in those catacombs of Rome. And to weed out the weak Christians, Caesar commanded that an ivory statue of his likeness was to be carried in religious processions throughout the city streets wherein they knew Christians lived. And they would go door to door, literally banging on your doors. Anybody refusing to bow in worship to that image on that cart were immediately killed on the spot. So they started hiding in the catacombs, which, being well known to be an actual burial chamber for those that could not afford land to bury their dead because it was at a high price in the city, disease was commonplace. I can't even imagine how you could breathe down there with all those bodies rotting, but that's what they had to do. They had no choice. And so most of them suffered an early death while they were down there. In a nutshell, historic fact is Rome persecuted and killed Christians. And out of Jeffrey Ernest Maurice's book, Why Were Early Christians Persecuted, on page 105 to 52, well, I'm just clipping out a little excerpt here. It says, in 64 AD, a great fire broke out in Rome, destroying portions of the city, economically devastating the Roman population. Tacitus records that Nero was rumored to have ordered the fire himself, and in order to dispel the accusations, accused and savagely punished the already detested Christians. Suetonius mentions that Christians were killed under Nero's reign, but does not mention anything about the fire. Scholars disagree about whether Christians were persecuted solely under the charge of organized arson and or for general crimes associated with Christianity. So it goes on from there. There's a couple of resources as to where to get that quote too, and it jumps around a lot because, like I say, it's actually from page 105 to page 152. Unless you go into the Journal of Roman Studies, volume 58, then you're going to find it from pages 32 to 50. So anyway, as the Bible revealed nearly 400 years in advance by the prophet John, who Jesus gave the revelation to, pagan Rome gave her power over to papal Rome, and the Roman Catholic Church eventually gained both political as well as religious power, as did Caesar, and as prophecy also predicted. But this time it spread beyond the paganism of the Caesars and infiltrated into the Christian religion. The prophecy says in Revelation 17:3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. in prophecy. A woman is defined as a church. And Jeremiah 6:2 says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. We also understand that that the Church of Jesus Christ is considered to be the bride of Christ because of many areas of Scripture that describe her as such. It is also commonly understood that prophecy defines a beast to be a nation. Daniel 7:23 says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, that shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And it's diverse because it's a church and state mixed together. But to further confirm this prophecy fulfilled, when speaking on the time Rome collapsed politically, it says this in Andre Legardi's book, The Latin Church in the Middle Ages, and it was written in 1915. On page 6, it says this, no, the Catholic Church will not descend into the tomb. It will survive the empire. At length, a second empire will arise, and of this empire, the Pope will be the master. More than this, he will be the master of Europe. He will dictate his orders to kings who will obey him, or obey them. And then Pope Pius IX said in his Discorsi on page 253 that the Caesar who now addresses you is to whom alone are obedience and fidelity due. So, as is apparent, the Vatican now has the power of Rome in both a political and religious format. So again, we see different faces, we see different curtains on the wall, but the same old anti-Christian agenda is there. Christians were hated and persecuted by Rome to the tune of hundreds of millions dead during the prophesied 1,260-year reign. And yes, the Bible predicted that to occur almost exactly 1,000 years in advance via the prophet Daniel and the prophet John. Daniel 7:25 says, and he shall speak great things against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and dividing of a time. So a time is 1 year, times is 2 years, dividing of a time is a half year, right? And there's a lot more detail about this online. I got all these symbols defined, but I'm just quickly running through this to keep it the sermon somewhat short. And then Revelation 12, verse 6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for God that they should feed her 1,203 score days. Well, if you do the math, 3.5 years is exactly 42 months, and which is Jewish months. See, Rome changed times and laws as well, not just the Sabbath, they also changed calendars. So it used to be every month was 30 days long. So 42 times 30 comes out to exactly 1,260 days, or 1,203 score days. Same thing. And then Revelation 13:5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So all three of these prophetic time periods equal 1,260 years, because the prophecy of Ezekiel 4:6 says, I have appointed thee each day for a year. And in Numbers 14:34, it says, after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days each day for a year. So if you want more info on this, again, just go to my Characteristics of Antichrist page when you get time. I go into a lot more detail about that. But a lot of people like to say, especially today, and like pre-tribbers and post-tribbers, like seven-year tribbers, they say, oh, it says days. It means days only. Well, then how do all those kingdoms come to power, lose their power, get conquered, then another kingdom comes to power, loses their power, then is conquered, comes to another one comes to power, loses. I mean, it just keeps going on and on, right? And it's all going to happen in 3.5 years? No. But if you look back in history through 1,260 years, yeah, it all happened exactly the way it was supposed to. But see, that's one of the reasons the Bible's written the way it is. The wicked can't see what we can see. We can find the truth because we have the wisdom from on high. They can't. They look at a parable and they see literal theology. You know, like Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, thinking that, well, when we go to hell, we're going to be in the, you know, or no, no, when we go to heaven, we're going to be in the chest of Abraham, you know. So it's really, really sad. But they'll go, actually, they go both ways with that one. They'll say it's literal hell when it's talking about that the guy that's burning, and then when it's talking about Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, it's talking about heaven. So all of a sudden it's symbolic, but the other one's literal. And that's just confusion. That's what Babylon means, to mix truth with error. So then, as also prophesied in Revelation 13:3, the mortal wound was going to be administered to the Church of Rome, and the Vatican is to lose its political power and to go, you know, so it can't go forth and kill in large numbers anymore. And that happened in the exact year of 1798, which is exactly 1,260 years from the time that the Vatican became a church and state under Constantine's rule in 538 AD. And the Pope was removed from power, and he actually died the following November in exile. That was exactly the way Daniel said it would be. Then, as expected, the beast that was, is not, yet is, came back to power as a church and state once again in 1929. Now we're getting into our, you know, time span, you know, modern day, after the end times began. And the prophecy that predicted this about the, you know, was, is not, yet is Revelation 17:8. It says, "Behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Well, to quickly define this, again, I have this in detail online. The beast that was is the Roman Church began when it began in 538 AD and continued until Napoleon sent in General Berthier in 1798. And they abolished the papal government. It was only a church at that time. It wasn't political anymore. So it lost its power. So then the beast that is not is from that time that Napoleon gave them the mortal wound until the signing of the Lateran Treaty by Mussolini and Gasparri in 1929. But the beast that yet is when they signed that document till today. So it has been a church and state since then. So once again, the faces and the curtains were changed, but the agenda remained the same. Kill Christians and have the governing powers to do it. This time it was the Roman Catholic Adolf Hitler that was called by Rome to do the bidding of Satan. Many are unaware of this, and I did some research on this. I was a little bit shocked about this years ago when I came across it, but Rome likes to keep such things like this hidden. But many millions of Christians were killed by Hitler. Non-Catholics, of course. And because Rome also has an intense hatred for the Jews than they always have, because obviously because of the Sabbath-keeping issue, their power was appearing very strong to them politically at the time, and so they decided to go ahead and try to kill two birds with one stone. So they went after the Jews as well. But that's the one that's always graphically advertised, because most nations out there are already fashioned to hate the Jews, and so they don't have a problem talking about the Holocaust. But everybody's got a problem talking about how many Christians are being killed. I mean, try to find an accurate number between the year 538 to 1798. Some manuscripts say 50 million Christians were killed. Some say 100 million. Some say 150 million. And I saw it in Fox's Book of Martyrs, and for some reason the online version doesn't have it in there. It said 500 million. And that sounds a little bit more accurate, the 500 million, because if you do the math, right now 200,000 Christians are being killed every year by, well, I'll get into that in a minute. Well, let's just hold off for that. So, getting back. Hitler killed at least 6 million Jews along with those Christians. And that, of course, that doesn't even mention the millions that were also killed by all those nations that were trying to stop Hitler from running rampant across the land. So, you know, that world war killed a lot of people. And yes, it was very apparent he was following orders from the Roman Catholic Church. And how do we know that? Well, besides the ample documented facts regarding Hitler's Pope and the mountain of pictorial evidence of his love for them and their love for him, oh, and by the way, I just got an article the day before yesterday, I believe, that the Vatican has been approached. Pope Francis has actually been approached, and they're demanding he now, and these are reputable. These aren't those, even though these people are considered reputable, the common law court, they make them look like fanatics and weirdos. But there are other people that are stepping forward and asking the Vatican to declare why they funded Hitler. Why are their financial records proving they helped Hitler? So he's going to have to come up with this one, or they'll push it under the rug all of a sudden. But besides all that, we have an open sign of loyalty by Hitler himself to Rome. And I'm not talking about the pictures where he stands in front of a Catholic church with all of his soldiers, and he makes that salute, that Roman salute, which that same salute is being used by Al-Qaeda now, and Islam and ISIS and all those guys. So it's still Rome. But there's something else that most people are completely unaware of. But this symbol is a loyalty to Rome by Hitler, and it's used, and it was used by Hitler everywhere. But it was first found in the Roman Catholic Church. And you're right, those of you who are already guessing this one, I'm talking about the swastika. about Adolf Hitler. It is, in fact, a Roman Catholic symbol for the bent cross of Satan. Well, they say they come up some weird theology of the bent cross of Christ, but it's the inverted thing. I mean, the God that they truly worship is Satan, and so it's going to be that. He hates the cross. He turns it upside down. He breaks it. He bends it. He does whatever, you know, he can to try to pull the onus off of what happened 2,000 years ago. But see the picture of the swastika on the floor of the Roman Catholic Cathedral in box number 8 of the sermon notes underneath the chat room, if you to get an idea what I mean. And yes, I did state clearly that the popes and the prelates of Rome are devil worshippers. I have much evidence of this on the site confirming that. But that's a whole nother sermon. So for now, let's just move on. Now, it wasn't until many years later that the truth came out about the bent cross or the swastika and how it is actually an open sign of loyalty to Satan. It's actually no different than the inverted cross of the modern-day Satanists, of which the Vatican also displays with pride. And I'm sure most of you have already seen the pictures of Pope John Paul II sitting on that stone throne with an upside-down cross upon it in plain view. If not, see the picture in box number 9 of the sermon notes. And yes, he used the stone chair to try to depict Satan's permanent power. But as the Bible-believing Christians know, that's a lie. Okay, so Rome, or shall I say Hitler, so as to keep in agreement with the doctored historic record, appears to have lost the war in a big way. Now, just so you know, the only reason I can see Rome losing this war was that the timing was not right for the final victory to enforce their mark, because that's a no-brainer. That's in the past, and they didn't enforce it, so we know. They may or may not have known that, but it is apparent by modern-day political movements right now that stem from that war that they did, in fact, benefit by it, even though Germany agreed to play the bad guy. The chess pieces were put in place during and directly after that war to allow for the New World Order, as Hitler first called it. He was the first one to use that term. I have it on the site on the Hitler page. But they weren't able to do that New World Order scenario until much later, even though Hitler was talking about it back then, or shall I say until our day. And speaking of our day, who are the ones killing the Christians now? Well, first of all, prophecy says Rome will do it, as they always have, until the eastern sky splits. They're going to be the ones who are going to be doing it. Daniel 11 is very plain on this fact, but you need to study all that is prophesied in that chapter to truly understand it. There's a lot of people taking scriptures out of context to print, to preach sermons. Well, they're also doing it now to preach false prophetic theology. They'll come up to you and say that, well, this is what Daniel says, and I'm going to run with it. Well, yeah, but look what he said 2 or 3 verses before that. It totally changes the picture of what you're trying to paint. And that's why I placed an in-depth study on the website some years ago about Daniel chapter 11 that has all the historic facts with the sources to confirm that, yes, Rome is killing the Christians right now. See the link to that study in box number 10 of the sermon notes. So after pagan Rome fell, papal Rome had to do their bloodthirsty acts incognito so as to keep up appearances. I mean, after all, they not only claim to be a political power, they also claim to be a Christian church. So they couldn't very well go forth as a church demanding the deaths of hundreds of millions of Christians. Now, could they? No, they couldn't. So during the Inquisitions, after they sufficiently redefined Christianity by killing most prominent preachers, as well as removing Bibles so as to have the chance to preach another Jesus, as yet another prophecy and predicts in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, the killings that were done by the Vatican were for the most part done by civil authorities now, loyal to Rome under closed-door orders of the popes, just like they do today. A lot of killings are done, and you think it was like some guy, like take for example when they shot Reagan, that guy, whatever his name, I can't even remember his name, but he was an operative for Russia, or whoever was, when the wall was falling, yeah. He wasn't some nut case like they were painting him, he was hired to do that act. So, but still, you got the other toss of the coin now. In villages where the majority of the people were already Catholic, you would often see actual Roman Catholic prelates carrying out the sentences of death in front of the crowds because they knew they already believed, as per corrupted Catholic sermons, that anyone that was not a Catholic was not a Christian and therefore worthy of death. And if you don't believe that's possible to get people to be that bloodthirsty and have no problem with it, Have you seen some of the news reports about how Islam trains little boys? By the time those little boys are teenagers, they hate Christians with a passion and see nothing wrong with killing them. Well, they did the same thing with the Roman Catholic people. Not that they were asking them to kill the people, but they were more or less getting to a point where they really thought it was no big deal. It would save them from hellfire if we burned them now, kind of a theology was also running rampant through there when Tetzel was out there. Plus, they also knew that those thinking of leaving the church would be frightened, knowing if they did leave, they would be the next to burn on the stake before all their friends and neighbors. So, but in areas where the Vatican did not have political power, the killings had to be kept quiet. They were often done in dungeons or just by out and out murder, as the now published Jesuit oath confirms. The Pope of today is a Jesuit, and he took an oath to kill in some pretty graphically bloody and painful ways in that oath. So that is their part of their duty, is to commit murder for the church. And we also saw the Vatican fabricated numerous terrorist attacks or simulated acts of war by using those they politically controlled or those loyal to Mother Rome back then too. So how are they doing this today? Well, look around. What do you see? Islam is now running rampant across the land, killing Christians in nearly the exact same numbers that the Vatican did so during the Inquisition. We also see Islam using the very same methods to kill as the Vatican did. Everything from burning people alive in cages to slow, torturous methods Rome loved to perform from their dungeons. In fact, some Muslims have been lobbying their counterparts, demanding killing methods that were not only very painful, that they would take days to kill the Christians. Now, because the timing is now prophetically perfect in that most people are well conditioned to look the other way out of sheer fear or simple complacency, thanks to the mass indoctrination brought forth using everything from violent sports activities to violent movies or video games, wherein death appears as no big thing anymore. We must not forget, most have grown accustomed to death as no biggie thanks to abortion and the elderly death panels that are actually written in Obamacare. So, it was during the days of the Colosseums that they would, the people were conditioned enough to where it was considered entertainment to kill and to watch someone being killed painfully. They didn't have any concern. But in fact, I did a video because the same mindset's out there today. It is out there. And it's being... the talking points, you can see the talking points are not coming from the people themselves so much as even though it's coming from their lips, you can tell that they're being prodded by the demons in them or near them to actually say this ridiculous stuff on camera. That's why I did that video wherein some believe it would be a moneymaker to televise live executions. And then the judge, it happened in that Judge Perone, or whatever her name is. It's not the Millian judge, it's the other judge. She's pretty political. She gets on a lot of talk shows. But anyway, when the guy said that, he says, I just said it would be a moneymaker. And she said, yeah, tough stuff. That's all she said. She could have said, are you kidding me? No. But here's a judge in a courtroom on camera in America saying, yeah, tough stuff. In other words, not slamming them, actually condoning it. So yes, Islam is killing Christians in the same numbers the civil authorities did for Rome in the Dark Ages, but have you noticed how Rome is showing an obvious love for Islam, as well as absolute control over it, as they did for Hitler in his day? And what do I mean? All right. Well, first of all, we have many Muslim leaders bowing to the Pope in worship. We even have Yasser Arafat kissing the Pope's ring directly before they poisoned him and before Islam became a powerful political tool for the Vatican's New World Order agenda. See the picture of him kissing the Pope's hand in box 12 of the sermon notes. The Vatican even announced shortly after killing Arafat that all Roman Catholic schools will be teaching Islam in their classrooms. I have it all documented on the site. To top that off, we also now have documented evidence of an ex-Jesuit priest as well as an eyewitness testimony in an actual video that I repeated. I took that video and put it in a video I made of an ex-Muslim that the Church of Rome wrote the Quran hundreds of years ago so as to cultivate a people that would kill for them as they did during the Inquisitions and with Hitler in his day. And but see the link to my Pope and Islam page in box 12 as well. All the doc files and the videos, they're all there on that page that you need. And now, yes, I know it seems fabricated and far-fetched for some people to believe, but Rome is infamous for making political movements that they know are going to take hundreds of years to gain any sort of political benefit from. That's why it's not that hard to believe that they would have written the Quran a long time ago. But one also has to keep in mind that the God of Rome is Satan, and Satan is an angel. A fallen one, yes, but an angel nonetheless. This means he can live on as those he possesses to do his evil acts die off over time. This is why the curtains keep changing and the faces. And this is why the exact same agenda keeps happening while those faces and curtains keep changing. But praise the Lord, we're in the 11th hour, and Satan's life is soon to end. This is why things have sped up so much, and that's more or less the answer to those emails. That's why it's speeding up. He really does know his time is short, and he is trying to fill the fires of damnation with as many souls as he can before the plagues begin. So if you do your homework and have matched the prophecies with the historic records, like quite a few before you have already done, you'll find that Rome has been the devil's home base on earth for literally thousands of years. As the prophet Daniel predicted in Daniel 11:14, they officially came to power in 63 BC. Daniel calls them the robbers of the people at that time. And then, if you continue your study from that point forward, you will see Daniel becomes very descriptive as to how Rome goes forth against anyone getting in their way. They either conquer them or merge with them. And they make promises with friends and make them friends, and all of a sudden they turn their backs on them and chew them up, spit them out. That's all documented. And Daniel prophesied of it. So, as is common sense, if Satan was going to be able to rule on earth, being an angel with powers and a lifespan man can't comprehend, but only with permission to use men as pawns, he would have to have a governing entity on earth that would have a power matched by no one, that can be changed, but at the same time not changed. It's really confusing at times, but this is why you see in Revelation 13:4 it says, "Who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him?" When it comes to our day, do you know of any nation on earth like the United States of America with such military power? No. We're a superpower. We're the one. Russia has some of the stuff, yeah, but politically speaking, they're not there. And do you know of any other nation on earth like the Vatican with so much political power that they're like, well, last I checked, it was 175 nations are in agreement with them out of 200. No, there's no other nation other than that. And do you know of any other church on earth with so many religious friends as the Pope? No, again. And by the way, the Vatican is the only church on earth with a seat in all United Nations meetings. That is no mistake. Satan knows his time is short, and he knows he needs to kick it up a notch so as to be able to do as he believes he can do. After all, prophecy does say there will be a global entity that does his bidding in the last days, and it's not possible to do such political as well as religious acts unless there is a place on earth where religious as well as political power is found in one entity, and that entity is the Roman Catholic Church. So you see, being an angel, he knows all about the God we worship. I mean, he used to live there. So knowing there are some people seeking to please God on earth, he knows his best chance to for control is to appeal to mankind in the religious realm as well as have the ability to control him in the political realm at the same time, because some people don't believe. That's why Caesar was tempted to believe he was a god. Having power in both the political and religious realm is the basic definition of absolute power. When a man on earth can stand as the head of the state and the head of the church at the same time, it is then he reflects the embodiment of Satan, who is prophesied to do just that. Hence, the title, Man of Sin, is well deserved for all the popes of Rome. And so, as the prophet Daniel predicted long ago, Satan set up shop by creating a church and state governing power that has a global reach. And if you noticed, that particular event took literally thousands of years to set up, because even though Satan is an eternal being, well, at least until the hellfire hits him, mankind, on the other hand, just keeps dying off. And every time he tries, when he tries to go forth with the, like on the brink of global rule, to control them, they start dying off. So he has to rekindle his control each time a pope or a president or a wicked politician shows signs of getting old. He has to get somebody to finish the work. So he needs to keep busy too. So that being said, if the prophecy is bogus, and I'm just preaching out of a tinfoil hat, why is everything happening exactly as the Christian Bible predicted it would? After seeing Rome kill Christians 2,000 years ago, then seeing them kill Christians during the Inquisitions, and then once again killing them using Hitler, and right now, before it all ends, we see them killing Christians using Islam, are we to assume that now, yes, all the past prophecies were accurate down to a T, but the last one where Islam would be used by Rome to help them bring forth Sharia law in a political fashion that will help to legalize its deployment in the courts all over the world and eventually be used to behead Christians who refuse to, you know, receive the mark is somehow not going to be fulfilled? I mean, seriously. All of them were fulfilled, but that last one? It's impossible. It's going to happen. Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. That being said, you are aware that Sharia law has already been allowed in some American courts the last 2 years, right? Especially in Michigan. And positive talking points have already been uttered repeatedly in the last few months via the mouth of Obama and many political leaders in Minnesota and Michigan, wherein Islam appears to have set up a partisan base in the United States of America. And do you recall all the positive press guillotines received after they botched a few death sentences last year? And were you also aware there are over 30,000 guillotines in America right now? See the link at Box 14. And you are aware the Vatican now controls the U.S. government, right? If not, see that other link in Box 14. Prophecy says, soon everyone will see the smoke of Rome's burning. Our efforts and all seeds planted will finally be watered worldwide during the latter rain in many hearts. Some in the hearts of the common man and some in the hearts of powerful political magistrates, because some of us will end up in courts. Once those seeds begin to bud, everyone on earth will know the identity of the man of sin, which then will be made globally known. That will speed up the process that brings those prophesied fires upon the Vatican. That all being said, the only reason I do the work I do and make the videos I make is to educate as many as possible so as to expedite the arrival of that long prophesied burning. I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Before praying, don't forget we got something to discuss after church. And Nicholas, you may have to leave the room and come back in because it shows you already have texting ability. So it may just have to be like a refresh thing. So okay, anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us again with the changing of the showbread on Sabbath day. Please bless us with the courage that we need to go forth and proclaim this loud cry that you have given us. And please let the latter rain fall upon us more abundantly so that we can go forth with the power that the apostles prayed for. And directly after you gave them that power, they really did get bold. Acts 5:29 is pretty clear. So thank you, Father, for blessing us, keeping us, healing us, and hugging us every now and then. We thank you for that too, especially. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on the prayer list that are lost with salvation, that are sick with healing, and that are confused with truth. And bless all those that are doing the work with a strong hedge of angels to keep them safe. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.